Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
And welcome to the 31st Annual General Meeting of the Association, which is being held at Bristol Marriott Royal Hotel, College Green, Bristol. Before we start the formal proceedings, I would like to just run through the evacuation procedures in the event of an emergency. We're not expecting any tests today, so if the fire alarm goes off, please exit the building via the nearest emergency exit. I should do that, shouldn't I? We'll all do it together on the top table, thank you. And assemble at the front of the hotel at the College Green assembly point. Can I ask you all, please, to actually switch your mobile phones off? Not just put them on silent, because if you put them on silent, it could still interfere with the microphones. And while you might not want to hear the final words I have to say, you'll all really want to hear what Henry has to say. So please do switch them off completely. I'm delighted to be in Bristol for this year's AGM, and thank you all for joining us here today. Could I just have a show of hands of the people for whom it's your first AAT AGM? Fantastic. So please look round. If you see anybody that's new, then do make them welcome. You may have heard that AGMs sometimes don't have the most sexiest of reputations, but we're going to do our best to make this morning a really enjoyable event for all of you. I'm also really pleased to see that we have the company of several past presidents. Could I ask them please to all stand up so we could give you a round of applause? The meeting will be followed by the members' weekender, which I hope, it says a number of you, I think a lot of you are also planning to attend. The theme this year is effective accounting in challenging times, a topic which is becoming of increasing importance by the day and obviously important to our members. And we all look forward to meeting as many of you as possible over the next 2 days. The company secretary will be announcing the result of the council election 2012 later in the agenda. But I'm really pleased to say that we had a contested election with 8 members standing for 6 vacant places. As in previous years, we'll be seeking your feedback on the AGM and we'll circulate an evaluation questionnaire via email following the meeting. Your comments will help us to plan for future events, so please do take some time to complete that survey. Now, turning to today's meeting, you'll find a copy of the agenda in the AGM booklet. It's item 3 on page 4. If you wish to make a comment or ask a question, we have microphones at the sides of the room and they'll be brought over to you for you to raise your point. And when you do that, if I could ask you also please to say your name and your brand. Thank you. I'll now move to the first item, which is Roman numeral 1, and ask the company secretary to read the notice convening the meeting.
Good morning, everyone. I hereby give notice that the 31st Annual General Meeting of the Association is now in session here at the Bristol Marriott Royal Hotel, College Green, Bristol. We expect the AGM and remaining business to be concluded by approximately 12:30, following which you're all welcome to join us for lunch. And for those of you also attending the Members' Weekender, please can I ask that you return back to this room for a prompt start at 1:20. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. The next item, which is Roman numeral 2 on the agenda, is to receive the report of the independent auditors, the report of the trustees, and the audited consolidated accounts of the association for 2011. I would like to call on Mike Evans, Chairman of the Resources Board, to introduce the financial statements for the year end of 31st December 2011. Thank you, Mike.
Good morning, everybody. I take it you can hear me, yes? Okay, it sounds a bit loud from over here, so. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have pleasure in presenting a summary of the financial results and performance of the AAT for 2011. For those of you who want to view the full report and accounts, you will be able to do so at the AAT's website. Also, as in past years, it would be helpful if you could keep any questions you have to the end of my presentation. This presentation is based on the information contained within the comprehensive reports, but I also want to provide some more up-to-date information on the future activities that were highlighted in the AAT's full annual report for 2011. 2011 has been a challenging year for AAT, our members, and the worldwide economy. But despite this difficult and uncertain economic climate, our membership numbers have stabilised and grown slightly by just under 1% over their level at the end of 2010. AAT ended the year with a strong financial position, with income reserves well within the targets set by Council. This slide highlights two of the key decisions that were taken by Council during 2011. As you will see, we have implemented the new Articles of Association following their approval at last year's AGM. We have also initiated a global development strategy to assist with growth and to reduce the risk of overdependence in the UK market. Council agreed a code of professional ethics following consultation with members to replace the guidelines on professional ethics. This ensures that AAT's code is in line with best practice in this area. A review was also conducted on the guidelines and regulations for members in practice, and these were amended to reflect the revised license criteria and introduction of a registered member in practice framework. During 2011, the AAT has continued to invest and evolve to meet the changing needs of our members and of the accountancy profession. I don't intend to go through all of the examples of key achievements in 2011, but I would like to highlight three in particular. Firstly, under item three, we are continuously developing innovative ways to deliver and support the professional learning and assessments of our students. The successful development of computer-based assessments across the whole of the qualification in 2011 and the introduction in September 2011 of assessment support and e-learning materials demonstrate our commitment in this area. Secondly, under item four, the promotion and maintenance of professional standards is central to AAT in order to ensure that the qualification retains its status. The provision of CPD support and the development of guidelines and regulations all help in achieving this. I would like to mention that an important way for us to reach out and support members is through a strong branch network, and also through the provision of interactive online services such as WebEx sessions and podcasts for members to access. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank those members present who have either helped in organising or have attended branch events for their continued support. Thank you very much indeed. Thirdly, under item seven, as a membership body, it is essential that AAT maintains a strong public voice so that it can participate and inform consultations on matters that are important to our members. In 2011, we continue to have increased coverage in the press and at appropriate professional and education forums to make sure that our voice was heard. I'd now like to focus on AAT's financial results for 2011 and in particular explain why the increase in income arose and why the income reserves have also increased to a level above the target set by Council. This slide highlights the sources of our income and demonstrates we continue to receive a high level of income from student member activities and in particular from computer-based assessments. I reported this time last year that for the 4 months to the end of April 2011, 70,000 assessments were taken. The total for the whole of last year was over 270,000. This demonstrates a high level of engagement on the part of our student members with this new form of assessment. As can be seen from this slide, AAT's recurring income, when we take into account the move from paper-based to computer-based assessments, grew by 7.4 million, or by plus 54%, which more than covered the decline in non-recurring income, which fell by 3.4 million over the year. The next slide illustrates how AAT's resources were expended. Overall, our expenditure increased by 4% compared with 2010. The net result is that AAT incurred a surplus before other recognized gains and losses in the year of just over 2.4 million. This has ensured that the AAT continues to have a strong financial position from which to develop services for its members and to protect the organisation from risks associated with the current challenging economic climate. This challenging climate had an effect on the AAT's investments during 2011, when the return achieved on the AAT's portfolio was 0.7%. This, however, compares favourably with a negative return that was experienced on many of the investment markets over that period. It also impacted upon the AAT's pension scheme, which shows a net annual actuarial loss on the pension scheme of 1.1 million, due to the fact that the yields on gilts, which is used to value the liabilities under the pension scheme, were at a historic low. The impact of all this is shown on my next slide, where, as you can see, AAT's assets increased by 1.3 million, or just over 17%, from 7.4 million to 8.7 million. And, as previously mentioned, our income reserves were maintained at a healthy 51%. This has resulted in the AAT having the free cash resources available to invest in future developments. So that was 2011. But what, may you ask, does 2012 to 14 hold for the AAT? Well, my next slide and final slide summarises what we are now up to and likely to be doing over the business planning period to the end of 2014. Activities will include further rollout of e-learning and e-assessment, improved focus on customer relationship management, diversification activities through ATSL Limited, extend reach into global markets, building on AAT South Africa, extend influence by becoming full members of IFAC, continue to ensure we focus on prudence. And finally, whilst I have the opportunity, it's not often I get a chance, but this is my final presentation, I want to take this opportunity to thank in particular all the staff for the support that they've given me over the three-year period, and I've got to say in particular to Tom Kelman. So Tom, can you stand up, please? I want to people to give appreciation for the actual amount of work and effort for this. Thank you. I'm sure he'll answer all the questions now. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. This is now your opportunity to ask questions and make any comments you want on how Council has run AAT on your behalves. As you do so, as I said before, please tell us your name and branch and use the microphone which will be brought to you. Firstly, are there any questions on the accounts? You've heard from Mike. Does anyone have any questions they'd like to... It says here, actually, they would wish to put to Mike Evans, never mind Tom Kelman. So, the financial review and summary financial statements are set out on pages 10 to 13. So any questions on that area for Mike and or Tom? OK. So you didn't need to pass the buck at all, Mike. Bravely offered to take all of them. I'd now like to turn to the remainder of the annual report and ask if there are any questions on any of the particular sections there. First of all, there's my report on page one. No questions there. The Chief Executive's report on page two. No. The Council review, which covers pages 3 to 7. And the auditor's statement that's on page 17. My briefing note here says, thank you for your questions and comments. But I always, when people ask questions, it's great. When they don't, it shows that we've actually provided some really comprehensive open information. So would you like to raise a question?
I'd like to.
Would you just like to wait for the microphone?
My name is Mary Chick, and I'm from the Oxford branch.
And I would just like someone to enlarge upon the last section about future activities, where it's talking about the members in practice scheme. What's going to change? We've had a lot of changes already.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. I'm looking... Wendy, would you like to respond to that? Or maybe as it's a question of detail, is Adam, would you like to respond to it? Do you want to say who you are, Adam, so everybody knows?
I'm part of the AT's Director of Professional Development, so within my responsibilities I oversee the team that deliver the support to our members in practice and also extending the array of services that we provide to our members in practice. Over the course of the last year, we've been making some changes to the way that the scheme is structured, as was referenced in Mike's report, the introduction of the registered status, the changes to the guidelines for members in practice. So effectively it's going to be in relation to the implementation of those changes over the course of this year. Part of our focus has been recognising that not only are members in practice required to maintain their levels of competence to provide the services in which they're licensed, but they're also required to run their own businesses. And so we're keen to ensure that we can provide support and guidance to help those practices in running their own businesses effectively. So we've introduced support around practice management. We've got toolkits that are made available around that. And we're also putting in place what we're calling online diagnostic tests, which provide an opportunity for those that are considering taking the step of becoming a licensed member in practice to check their knowledge of key issues such as our guidelines on professional ethics, etc. So it's going to be in and around that sort of framework that we're putting in place. So effectively we're having what's almost like a sort of provisional capacity for those who are just setting up to ensure that they've got all of the relevant skill sets in place to provide the services and support to their own clients that will help to maintain the standard and professionalism with which our members in practice are already regarded, that will help to improve the status and recognition of the qualification as a whole.
Okay, thank you, Adam. Any other questions?
Thank you. My name's Paul Reynolds. So I'm a member in practice from Hampshire. I'd just like to thank the board for considering this year and hopefully getting it pushed through that the internal audit part of the certificate will be included as from possibly next year. It's quite important to a number of us because, obviously, if we work in the public sector, we do internal audits, and probably 95% of my clients are on that. But it's not actually on my certificate at the moment. So thank you very much for taking that on board. And secondly, I'd also like to thank you for giving us support with the collaboration exercise that we're undertaking at the moment with the Society of Local Council Clerks. So thanks once again for that. And as a member in practice, it's nice to be able to sort of say that to the people that do all the hard work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that comment. Any other questions? No? So then the next item is Roman numeral 3, Resolution 1, which is to appoint Grant Thornton UK LLP as auditors for the current year and to authorise counsel to determine their remuneration. The audit for the year ended 31st of December 2011 completed the second five-year term of office of our current auditors, Crowe Clark Whitehill LLP. It's our normal practice to undertake a tendering process every 5 years, and this was carried out by the Audit and Assurance Board during 2011, and the recommendation that we're putting forward to you today has the support of counsel. I'd just like to ask, are there any questions or comments on the recommendation? Okay, thank you very much. I'd now like to call on John Yeoman, who's the Chairman of the Audit and Assurance Board, to propose the resolution.
Thank you, President. Resolution 1. I'd like to propose Resolution 1 on the agenda to appoint Grant Thornton UK LLP as auditors for the current year and to authorise the Council to determine the remuneration.
Thank you, John. Can I have a seconder, please?
I'll second that.
Oh, thank you, Henry. May I call for a vote on a show of hands, please? So could I see all those in favour, please? Thank you. I suppose we'd better vote in favour. Anybody against? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. As far as I can see, that was carried unanimously. So thank you very much indeed. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Crowe Clark Whitehill LLP very much for all the work they've done for us over the past 10 years. We very much appreciate the relationship we've had with them over a period of time. I'll now turn to item Roman numeral 4, which is to receive and note the results of the election of 6 members of the association to serve on the council. And I'd like to call on the company secretary, Karen Marshall, to read the scrutineer's report.
Thank you. The summary of votes cast in the election for members of council is as follows. I shall read the candidates' names in alphabetical order. Vernon Anderson, 1,582. Rachel Banfield, 2,103. Susan Bosley, 1,686. Richard Harpham, 1,516. Carl Little, 1,354. Rita Patel, 1,525. Dee Statham, 1,859. Jane Towers, 1,864. Jitesh Chandra Shah withdrew from the election after ballot papers had been issued. Therefore, any votes cast for him were therefore not counted. There were 66 invalid votes, and the total number of ballot papers returned was 2,991, as at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, the 8th of May, 2012. There being 6 vacancies, each for a 3-year term, I declare, and the scrutineers have so certified, that Rachel Banfield is duly elected to serve for a further 1-year term in line with the service rule in Article 45, which was detailed in the ballot paper, and Vernon Anderson, Susan Bosley, Rita Patel, Dee Statham and Jane Towers are duly elected to serve a 3-year term. So congratulations to you all.
Thank you, Karen. I'll just tell you a little bit more about each of the people that's been elected onto council. Firstly, Vernon Anderson. Vernon's an active branch committee member and was recently appointed chairman of the Bristol branch. He's chief executive of his local town council and a member in practice managing his own business. Rita Patel is currently chair of the Leicestershire branch and has also served as branch secretary. She's worked in the banking industry for almost 26 years and undertaken roles in the commercial and corporate segments. Next, in alphabetical order, we have Dee Statham. Dee's been involved with AAT since 2000, has chaired the Northampton branch and is the current secretary of the Milton Keynes and Bedford branch. Dee runs her own practice and has recently become a small business mentor. And finally, Jane Towers. As a member in practice, Jane runs her own business offering accounting and business advice to SMEs. She recently gained an MBA and acts as a mentor for the University of Northampton. And she's previously been treasurer of the Northampton branch and currently chairs the Oxford branch. And fortunately for Jane, she actually won the past President's Award last year, because as a council member, you're not eligible to win it. So. And I'd also like to congratulate the existing members of council who've been re-elected, and that's Rachel Banfield and Susan Bosley. And I'd like to welcome 2 new SIPFA-nominated members, Christina Earls and Richard Harbord. So could you all that I've mentioned stand up, please, so we can congratulate you all. So that concludes the formal proceedings of the AGM. But before I move on to the next part of the programme, I'd like to say a few words as I come to the end of my year of office as President. Lots of you have said to me this morning, "Are you feeling sad?" And actually, I'm not feeling sad. I'm feeling delighted with where AAT is at the present time. and really excited about the future that we've got. And if I've had a small part to play along the way, well, then that's great. But I'm not feeling sad. So you don't need to be sympathetic or treat me gently today. As soon as I finish speaking, I'll be handing over to my successor. But there are three areas I'd like to cover in my few words. The AAT itself, the people involved in AAT, and then I just want to share a few memorable moments with you. Starting with the people, I and all of you are enormously indebted to the Council of AAT, who this year has been bold and brave in the decisions it has taken. As trustees, we are here to optimise the potential benefit of AAT for our current and future members. And we've certainly done that this year. The strength of AAT Council lies in our diversity, our commitment, and our shared passion about AAT. And I am extremely grateful as chairman of council to the other 33 members of AAT Council. Next is Jane, our chief executive, together with the members of directorate and all the members of AAT staff. We on council are so fortunate that they are so enthusiastic, so talented, and so committed. I use the word committed again with no apology. That's how it is. And finally, there are you, the members. Not only committed to developing yourselves, but also willing to help, to enthuse, and to act as ambassadors to help develop AAT. Neil Price, when he was standing here last year, referred to AAT as a family, and I couldn't choose a better word. Secondly, I'd like to talk about AAT itself. During my year as president, the more people I met, the more I realised how well known AAT is and the huge regard in which we are held. Members, students, employers, training providers, and people from other professional bodies, everyone has something good to say about AAT. Our reputation continues to grow, and the best example of that for me this year was to have Dr. Ian Ball, who is the chief executive of IFAC, the International Federation of Accountants, sitting next to me at our annual AAT lunch. AAT really does make a difference and change people's lives. Whether I was at award ceremonies, at branch events, or visiting members and students here and in other countries, I heard many, many inspiring stories. This year, I have seen very real evidence of our growing reputation and our ability to make a difference. One specific example, since we embarked on our global development strategy a year ago, since we, in effect, put up a brass plate saying we were open for business, it feels as though the world has been clamouring to come through our door. We really have been overwhelmed with how many people want to do business with AAT in various ways, and the future is very exciting indeed in that regard. Finally, I hope you'll indulge me if I share a few memorable moments with you. First, two coincidences. Well, I assume that's what they were, although it seemed a bit suspicious. Colin and I were fortunate enough to attend the AAT Training Providers Conference and Awards Ceremony in Botswana. One morning, the two of us went down to breakfast to a nearly deserted restaurant where we were staying and found the only other couple in the restaurant were the president of SEMA and his wife, dressed up, ready to go on safari. Luckily, I saw through his disguise and recognised his shorts, or rather recognised his face, despite the fact he wasn't wearing a dinner jacket. Then in London, several of us AAT council members were having a dinner in another deserted restaurant in a hotel. Only one other party arrived during the evening, and it was the president, the deputy president, and the vice president of ACCA. So, spooky or what, people seem to have been following us. So what's the most amazing place I've been this year? I've visited South Africa, Botswana, Kenya, Berlin, Vienna, Bristol. So what's been the most amazing place? I was undergoing media training earlier this year, well, last year, and was being asked to give 15-second sound bites about AAT. That was fair enough, but I think to ensure my elevator pitch would never fail, I found myself being interviewed, speaking into a microphone while standing on the traffic island in the middle of Aldersgate outside the AAT offices, with the traffic whizzing past in both directions. So for me, that's been the most memorable place I've been this year. And finally, what was the most unexpected thing anyone has said to me this year? While in Botswana, we'd been on a visit to Francistown. It's the second largest city in Botswana, but before you get carried away, it has a population of less than 100,000, and it's a very long way from the capital, Gaborone. We were flying back to South Africa from Francistown, and as I went through passport control, the official opened my passport, looked at me and said, "Ah, the president of AAT." So I looked at him completely, maybe our marketing department's doing a good job, but I looked at him completely bemused and said, "How on earth did he know that?" And he replied, very clearly, "I'm doing level 4. It turned out he'd heard me speak at a local college the day before. But it's the first and I expect the only time when I will actually give a business card to a passport official. Finally, some more thank yous and some goodbyes. I'll start on a personal note with my husband, Colin. I should make this very clear. This is a thank you and not a goodbye. Colin has had a very difficult year as a lifelong supporter of Manchester United. I had previously had 43 very difficult years, so you can guess who I support. And Colin not only overcame his bitter disappointment at the 6-1 drubbing United received at Old Trafford and gave me his complete support on my visit to South Africa, but then, despite last Sunday, here he is today, celebrating or being a wonderful support to me yet again. So thank you so much for all you've done this year, and in particular, for being a wonderful roadie. So thank you. I'm also, of course, very grateful to my Vice President, Henry Cooper, and past presidents Neil Price and Pam Dyson for all they have done to support me. And I very much appreciated their wise advice and counsel during the year. I know I've already commended all my fellow council members for their energy and commitment, but I would also like to mention in particular our board chairman. They have helped us focus fully on AAT's business plan priorities in a challenging year, and the annual report has shown us how much has been achieved under their leadership. So my thanks go to Wendy Thorne. I'll say all your names and you can all stand up. Wendy Thorne from the Member Services Board, Rachel Banfield from the Learning and Development Board, Tracy Tipple from the Regulation and Compliance Board, John Yeoman from the Audit and Assurance Board, and Mike Evans as Chairman of Resources Board, who, as you've already seen, remains the trusty custodian of AAT's finances. So please will those five chairs all stand so we can acknowledge your contributions. I'd also like to mention and thank a number of members of council who are standing down at this meeting. All of them have contributed to the AAT, not only at council, but also on boards and panels, in working parties and in the branch network. Please join me in showing our appreciation, and again, I'll go through a range of names and then we can acknowledge them all, in showing our appreciation to two former board chairs. So Wendy Thorne, again, who has in her 9 years on council chaired the Regulation and Compliance Board and the Member Services Board. She also chaired the Investigations Committee, gained the Advanced Professional Certificate in Investigative Practice, a very substantial piece of CPD. Wendy's on home territory today as an active member of AAT Bristol Branch. Then there's Sarah Wood, a council member since 2006, who's not able to be with us today, but who, as chairman of Resources Board a few years ago, guided us through the aftermath of the global financial crisis with great wisdom and foresight. And we're also saying goodbye today to council members Richard Harpham, Chris Yerrill, and Una Rilling. And we're really fortunate to have had all their contributions. And then finally, there's past President Pam Dyson. She retires today, having come to the end of her ex officio term. An AAT member since we first began, Pam served on council from 1994 to 1998, and then from 2002 until today. In the gap between her terms on council, Pam managed to sneak in the past president's award for her work in raising the profile of AAT members in the NHS. As many of you here will know, Pam is a very enthusiastic advocate of the branch network and is also a passionate advocate of lifelong learning. She's done a great deal to create a framework for learning and development for council members. And indeed, in the future, I think we'll be very tempted to refer to our learning and development days as Dyson days. She's done so much to promote and develop AAT, and I know she will continue to do so in the future. She was a remarkable president, and we'll miss her contribution at council. So please, could all those people I've mentioned that happen to be here today, I know they aren't all here, please stand up so we can give you an enormous round of applause. That concludes my remarks, and it's been an absolutely enormous pleasure and privilege to serve as your president. I'll now move on to the installation of our new president for 2012-2013, Henry Cooper, who served as vice president for 1 year and who takes up the office of president from the close of today's AGM. I'm saying this bit, I see Henry's now getting worried because I'm here and he thought I'd be there. I'm saying this bit from here so they can hear me clearly. And then I'm coming back over there, so you just stay there.
If I'm told.
Good teamwork, this. Henry will be the 32nd president of the AAT. He became a member of the AAT in 1999 and a fellow member in 2004. He's been active in the branch network and chaired Milton Keynes and Bedford branch. This is this NLP gone mad, I think. Henry was first elected to AAT Council in 2005. He's chaired Member Services Board from 2009 to 2011. And as a particular example of Henry's commitment, I mean, when you're president of all the AAT members, but Henry happens to be a member in practice. And since 2009, when members in practice mornings were introduced, Henry has been involved, and I gather that if we include the webinar, it actually gets up to 30 members in practice events. Nearly 3,000 people have attended those events, and about 450 people have become members in practice. So that's a phenomenal achievement, Henry. Very well done, and I'm sure it will serve you. That dedication, commitment, and success will serve you very well in your next role. Henry's a member in practice. His busy practice, Birch Cooper Accounting Services, which he founded in 2001, is continuing to expand. His business success may be accounted for by his warm embrace of all forms of social networking. He's an assiduous user of tools like Twitter and LinkedIn and was our first vice president to host webinars that attracted participants from all over the world. So I'm looking forward to Henry going viral next year. I've had the absolute pleasure of working with Henry for a year, and I know that he will be a fine president who engages with all our members and will be very supported by his wife, Catherine. So now I'm going to come back over there to do the next bit, which is the difficult task of me trying to get this from round here to round Henry's neck. So I'll now stand here. So I'll now formally relinquish office as president with the traditional form of words used by my predecessors. Henry Cooper, you've been elected to the office of president of the association, and it is my duty and pleasure. Now, don't you well up, because I will. To pass on to you the insignia of that office, I invest you with this presidential badge as a mark of your high station, it says.
Slightly ill.
And I hand you the association's gavel as a symbol of your authority, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, Hilary. Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you, Hilary. I'll start my presidential duties with two enjoyable jobs. First, I must pay tribute to our immediate past president, Hilary Lindsay, and secondly, I'll install the new vice president. And then I want to tell you something about myself and look forward to the oncoming year. Now, having worked with Hilary for a year as vice president, I have observed firsthand the many qualities that have made her an outstanding president. Hilary joined council in 2006 as a nominee from ICAEW. She immediately threw herself into all aspects of AAT activity, including getting involved with her local AAT branch in Northampton. Hilary was chairman of the Learning and Development Board from 2008 to 2010. She played a key role in the development of the AAT's revised accounting qualification. Throughout her time on AAT Council, Hilary has deployed her inquiring mind and formidable intelligence on many aspects of the AAT's work. She chaired the e-learning steering group. The products of its work are now available on the AAT's website. She's been involved in think tanks on governance, membership, and licensing of members in practice, for which I'm particularly grateful. Hilary has non-executive trustee roles with other organisations, and so on council we have benefited from her considerable insight into effective corporate governance. As president, Hilary has been inspirational and has encouraged AAT to live up to its aspiration to be bold and brave. As chairman of council, Hilary has made sure that council keeps moving forward and doesn't stagnate. Hilary has taken a particular lead in focusing AAT's attention on international opportunities. She is chairman of the Global Development Steering Group. She instigated Council's decision to apply for full membership of the International Federation of Accountants, IFAC. The application is progressing, and we hope and we expect to hear the outcome later this year. If we achieve this goal, it will be a significant landmark for AAT. Hilary has been a hard-working ambassador for AAT. During her presidential year, Hilary visited South Africa, and observed firsthand one of the local government projects we are implementing. She also presided over the largest AAT award ceremony in Botswana. Hilary also made some media appearances in support of AAT's campaign to encourage school leavers to consider AAT as an alternative university. I must at this point also acknowledge Hilary's husband, Colin. Colin, I know, has given Hilary a lot of practical and moral support during her very busy year. Don't you start welling up as well. We'll all be welling up at this. I'll borrow that in a minute. And so might Catherine. He's also acted as chauffeur, photographer, travel coordinator and wardrobe advisor with patience and good humour throughout. So did Colin choose this? And, of course, on a personal note, I can't thank you enough, Hilary, for all the encouragement and support and guidance you gave me in the last year. Thank you. It's hard to do justice to Hilary in this short speech. The badge I now wear includes the AAT motto, with integrity and with diligence. I can't think of anyone who has embodied those virtues quite like Hilary. So please, will you join me in thanking Hilary as I present her with her past president's jewel, and an illuminated certificate, I can't pronounce that, certificate even, to commemorate her year in office. much as you didn't kneel for me. Okay, this takes me back a bit. My second enjoyable job is to now install Mike Evans as our Vice President. Mike, who you've already seen in action today, was first nominated to AAT Council by SIPFA, also in SIPFA, into AAT Council, sorry, in 2006. He soon became involved in many areas of work. Amongst other things, he has chaired Investigations Committee and Resources Board. Mike has spent his career in public finance. He has been a finance director in FE and the housing sectors, and he is now an independent consultant. Stop reading it. I think I'm right in saying that Mike is the first Welshman to become Vice President of the AAT, and certainly the first Welsh speaker. I'm not even going to attempt anything on that. So, Mike, I commend you as our new Vice President. I know that he will carry out his responsibilities with great dedication and in due course will become a worthy President of the AAT. Mike will now say a couple of words.
I was told to expect the unexpected, and I wasn't expected to say anything today, but I'm very proud and very privileged to be here before you, and I will endeavour to do my best on behalf of the AAT. Thank you very much. It's a great honour.
So now I have to travel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, members of AAT, good morning. It's a huge honour for me to be here today as the 32nd president of your association, our association, the AAT. And can I just start by thanking again immediate past president Hilary Lindsay. I know I'll keep going on about this, but for all of her hard work over the past year and the support and guidance that she's given me in her vice presidential year. I'm also extremely grateful to members of council who elected me as your vice president last year. And also to the friends, members of AAT and friends who encouraged me to stand for council in first place and for vice president. Your support has been invaluable. And I know I shouldn't pick names out here really, but I am going to name Jess Bond. Jess Bond is responsible for a number of council members coming onto council, and Jess Bond is certainly responsible for me being here today. Jess, I thank you particularly. Thank you. Now, as I travelled here yesterday, I was reflecting on how proud I am to be starting my presidential year. A presidential year in which I will be representing not just the AAT itself, but also our members. Proud because this is your association, our association, and your council has seen fit to elect me as your vice president and ultimately your president. To say that I'm looking forward to what I know will be a very full year as president representing you and the AAT on so many different fronts is something of an understatement. I'm sure that it'll be a huge challenge, but it'll also be a great privilege. So, who is this Henry Cooper you see standing before you? Well, first of all, just to quell any rumours that I'm no relation to the other Henry Cooper that you may know, but you might be a little bit older to know this, but there was apparently another Henry Cooper who was quite famous for his boxing prowess, apparently, but I'm obviously too young to know that, and I read it in a history book somewhere. I'm also no relation to Tommy Cooper, or for the really old amongst you, Gary Cooper either. Well, over 35 years ago, I was a postman. In fact, I worked for the Royal Mail for many years until I was fortunate enough to hear about AAT, after which the direction of my life was changed forever. Within a short space of time, instead of knocking on other people's doors, suddenly doors of a very different kind started to open for me. And they've carried on opening ever since, including periods at a charity, where I set up a payroll for over 1,000 permanent and 1,000 temporary staff, an IT recruitment company where I was company accountant, running the UK and European account systems, to now running my own house high street accounting practice for the last 11 years, where, as Hilary said, my business has grown, and I'm now seen as a major player in the local business community. I'm also proud to say that my permanent full-time member of staff is also
now an AAT member, and has proved to be a huge asset to my business. Haven't you, Sue? It says here. All this is in no small part due to the AAT, and that's the strength of the AAT. We are genuinely welcome and present no barriers to success. I was elected to council 7 years ago, and before that I served and still do serve on the Milton, on the committee of the Milton Keynes and Bedford branch, which was a great training ground for what was to come on council. I would urge any of you who are not involved to give it a try. Who knows where you may end up. During my time on council, I have served on numerous boards and panels, work of which I have found hugely rewarding, culminating in today. Now, I hope it's obvious that I'm passionate about AAT, really passionate, passionate about the fact that the qualification and membership, alongside some good old determination and hard work, can change lives. It certainly helped me to change mine, and through my time on council, I have heard countless stories from student and full members who would agree. Some of the most rewarding experiences on council have come from meeting our students and members and hearing their stories. It is these stories that are so powerful and really underpin what we are and why we exist as a membership body and why we continue to go from strength to strength. Now, I know, and I'm living proof, that the AAT qualification and membership on its own really is a platform to help people develop both personally and professionally. My message to anyone thinking of embarking on the qualification, to students and members alike, is simple. Use the platform provided by the AAT and you can succeed. I did it, and so can you. We can and should all be extremely proud of the support that AAT offers, support that I hope to be able to develop further as your president. But it doesn't stop there. By developing people, organisations and society also benefit. In turbulent times such as these that we currently face, it's easy to forget the economic and social impact that AAT has. Just look around you. The successful organisations are those that take a strong grip on their finances, supported by the skills that our members have. It is our members who provide the engine room that keeps these organisations functioning effectively, which is why our vision of putting the AAT at the heart of every organisation is as important now as it ever was. What we do today is important, and we will continue to work to try and shape policy, ensuring that our voice is heard at the highest levels. Now, to succeed, I believe that we must remain relevant to our students and members, but broader than that, to employers, stakeholders, and policymakers. Further than that, we have to continue to increase accessibility and opportunity for students and full members alike, helping them to stay ahead in an ever-changing market. In short, we must keep driving forwards. The year ahead will certainly be challenging, but I know that we have the membership, council and staff to succeed. It's our membership that holds us all together, so thank you all for being here today at our AGM. Thank you again to members of council who elected me as vice president. I'm sure that the year ahead will be full of challenges, which I will do my best to meet, and to ensure that AAT continues to move forward, so that the organisation is just as strong when I hand over the reins to Mike in a year's time. Now, it would be careless of me in closing not to acknowledge the support of my dear wife, Catherine, who is here today on one of those rare occasions that she actually gets to spend some time with me. Catherine, thank you for your support and understanding. I really do appreciate it and couldn't do it without you. Thank you. And finally, in the front row here, I just want to say a special hello to my two grown-up sons, Alan and Daryl. As I say, they're both here today. And just to prove that to get into the Cooper family, you have to have an AAT connection. Daryl is waiting with bated breath, I know, for the results of his final two AAT exams before becoming a member. And Alan, who, although not AAT qualified yet, yet, at least went second best and ensured that at least he has a partner who is an AAT member. Welcome, Trafina. I very much look forward to working closely with you all. Thank you very much.
Nearly there. So I think now I'd like to call on Hilary Lindsay to make the presentation of the Past President's Award 2011. Hilary, your work is not yet done.
Yes.
As the newest past president, it says here. I don't think I'm the youngest past president, but at least I'm the newest. I think I can work on that one. I'm not quite ready to give up yet, but it's my fantastic honour to announce the winner of the Past President's Award. In 1994, the AAT past presidents decided to make an annual award to a member of the association. They wanted to celebrate someone who had made an exceptional contribution to the development of the AAT, or had, by their service or action, brought credit to the AAT. This is a very special award, and there's a distinguished roll call of past winners, all of whom have enhanced the reputation and standing of the AAT. Over the years, the past presidents have made the criteria for this award as inclusive as possible. Council members are not eligible, but this year, the past presidents wanted to celebrate someone who has shown concern for others through charitable work and who, by their actions, embodies AAT's values. Our winner completed the AAT qualification in July 2008 and was elected to full membership in August 2008. She's a licensed member in practice. She impressed the judges with the range of her commitment to charitable causes. Through her business, she has sponsored the Devizes Food Bank and has organised charity auctions for the Wiltshire Air Ambulance. In 2012, she's also competing in Race for Life for the second year running, raising funds for cancer research. And she wasn't sure she could be here today because she's involved in a major fundraising event that she has to rush off to after today on behalf of Air Ambulance. Our winner is a Twitter user, and, following in the footsteps of WI members, has used the medium to drum up support for a charity calendar of naked accountants. You don't need to rush because she's had no shortage of volunteers. And the calendar is now in development. I'm delighted to introduce this year's winner of the Past President's Award, the, I hope, fully clothed, Jenny Frost of Farrant Frost Limited.
I was a little surprised when I got the phone call to say I've been selected for this. And, I'm still a little bit bemused. But, I'm just really pleased that I've managed to build my business to the point where I can just use the time and resources to give back to the community. And it's something I really enjoy doing. I really enjoy running the business, but I really enjoy doing this stuff as well. I suppose I want to say thank you to the past presidents for selecting me for this. It is an honour. Thank you to the AAT for enabling me to do what I do and build my business. And a very special thank you to my members of staff, Sunita Smart, who's here today, Melanie Harrison, who is studying the AAT, and Liz Gray, because without them, I would just be sitting in an office doing tax returns all day. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Hilary, and congratulations to Jenny. Well done. Well, we've actually seemed to have wound all this up a little bit early, which I hope is a good omen for this afternoon's council meeting. It just remains for me to say thank you to you all for coming today. I hope you found the morning and, well, and afternoon now, in fact, just about useful, and expect to see so many of you here today. We've been asked if we can move out swiftly at the end of the, at the end of today where, to outside where there will be a buffet lunch being served. And those for those of you who are also attending the Members' Weekender, can you meet back in this room for a prompt start to where you'll meet the immediate past president, Hilary Lindsay. So like I say, if we can all move out as quickly as we can, because they need to actually reorganise the room, and a lunch will be served shortly. Thank you very much. Thank you.